I was meant to be going over there to lead a tour group. This is an independent thing from my work at the museum around Egypt, because I'm doing my PhD in Egyptology. Well, I left Brisbane, because I flew out from Brisbane even though I'm from Sydney, on the 28th of January. And at that stage, Australia hadn't upgraded their travel warnings, but the riots obviously started on the 25th of January. So when I landed in Dubai going over, that I saw the text updates in the plane saying that British citizens and American citizens had been advised against travelling, but it was a little bit late at that stage for me. There were some tourists on the flight that decided not to go on. So they offloaded everyone's luggage on the flight. My luggage went off as well and never went back on again, so I actually didn't have any luggage when I got to Cairo. I landed there on Saturday morning of the 29th of January. No one was willing to actually drive into downtown Cairo where my hotel was because it was so dangerous. So we got a taxi driver, finally, to agree to try and take me in. I had a local Egyptian guide with me. So we went in and all the roads were blocked into the centre, so we couldn't get through because there's a curfew happening as well. So from 4 p.m. to 8 a.m, no one is supposed to be out on the streets of Cairo. We had to turn around, go back to Heliopolis, which is near where the airport is, and get another hotel, an emergency hotel that night. But there was no restaurant open because obviously, staff couldn't get to the hotel either. Next morning, my local guide was there to pick me up and try to take us in again to the centre. There's just tanks everywhere in the street, armed guards everywhere. But I mean, we saw the burnt-out buildings, burnt-out cars. The place, many buildings and shops had been looted. It was like a war zone. Got into the Semiramis Hotel, which is where I was staying, which is at the epicentre of everything. So my hotel room had a direct view of Madame Tahrir. There were warning signs up saying not to go out of the hotel. If you do, it's your own responsibility, not to go on the balconies, to have your curtains closed. Curiosity got the better of me. So I went down into Madame Tahrir for 2 days, actually, and I was in the middle of everything. So, and I have to say it was a carnival atmosphere. I've been to Egypt quite a few times, so I know the country quite well. I speak a bit of Arabic, and I feel very comfortable there. So I was immersed like a local Egyptian, walking around, meeting people. They told me stories, why they were there, what they thought of the government. They wanted to know why I was there. Some people said to me that, don't you feel unsafe? Mainly because I was told that everyone was carrying a knife or a gun on them. Everyone was protecting themselves, their property. It was a very unpredictable situation. I was aware of that. I was down there on the Monday, the 1st of February, and there were gunshots going off. It was a chaotic scene. On the Sunday evening, I was just taking some photographs of some tanks, as you do, and out of nowhere this man yelled out, "Are you Melanie Pitkin?" And it turns out, because I was meant to be giving a talk for the Powerhouse Museum about design, because I'm a design curator, and he actually organised this talk, and he recognised me from the photograph which he had seen on the internet. So very random. And he had one of his friends there as well, so we kind of got together that evening, going around, taking photographs, sharing our stories. They did say to me it wasn't particularly safe to be a single female walking around Cairo streets at that time. So they took me back to my hotel. But because it was during the curfew time, we couldn't get back into the hotel because it had been completely boarded up. So we went around the side of the building to a concealed entrance for staff. And there were 15 journalists all gathered outside. All the tourists had gone at this point, and just journalists were staying there. So there were reporters from the BBC, CNN, the New York Times. So we were all stuck out there together. And finally, a staff member came down and opened the door, but only let four of us in, four females, and the rest of them were left outside. But I'm not sure what happened to them, but I saw them the next day, so they must have got in at some stage. There were issues with the phone lines. The mobile phones were down in Egypt, so I couldn't call the Australian embassy. It just rung out. No one answered. I did wander down to the embassy area in Garden City, which is a suburb of Cairo, and it was in complete lockdown. So it wasn't just the Australian embassy that was closed, but all of them. I was very fortunate that because I was working for a travel company and I was still able to contact them back in Australia. So they arranged an Egypt Air flight for me on the 2nd of February, but I was stuck at the airport for what felt like an eternity. The day after I left, it broke out with the pro-Mubarak supporters coming in and, you know, exchanging their Molotov cocktails and rocks and other sorts of ammunition. So I was glad that I was safe and sound. I was really glad that I had the experience as well. But I still wish I could have been there for a bit longer as well.